Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 146, part 2. This is the second part of the interview with Michelle from Michigan about the gangbang. Woohoo! Enjoy. For everyone listening, this is almost like a how-to description of how to create your fantasy here.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this.
And that's what I love about ever since I've joined the King community, you know, if people ask, like, so what's on your bucket list? It's like, my bucket list is pretty short because if I want to do something, there's always somebody that wants to do it with me. And all it takes is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a big deal to throw it out there and say, hey, I want to create a pegging gangbang, and people will happily show up. And not just, you know, creepy weirdos. Like, you can pick amongst your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my friend circle because that is totally the case.
Sweet.
Yeah. I've made great fantasies come true. Like, to be part of that is so much fun and such a privilege. And, like, with this situation, he's so happy that it happened. I mean, how can you not take pride and have, you know, gratitude that you were part of that situation? I mean, he'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. He'll be jerking off to it for
decades. A long time. He was jerking off to it, I'm sure, before it even happened. I mean, that's the benefit of a fantasy, right?
Exactly.
You can extend that out. You can, if you really play it well, you can get a lot of use out of it before it ever happens, and you can get a lot of use out of it after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm in a situation right now, having a long-distance partner, that I'm using it to finally tap into exploring writing more erotica, because it's not the easiest thing for me to write, because I've really struggled with fantasy. But in this situation, I'm kind of forced into it. And why not tap into that and write something with it? And it's been I look forward to doing more of it, because it's a good practice for me.
It's so fun. Of course, it's one of my favorite things.
Well, yeah, but I'm not good at it. And so...
Oh, I don't know. You sent me that, and I read it, and I wouldn't say that you're not good at it.
No, okay, what I sent you was a good starting point, I will say that.
Yes.
I need to dive back into that piece and tweak it and edit and explore some things more and take some things out, but it was definitely a first draft that I think has potential.
It's got a lot of potential, absolutely.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
But sharing it was a huge vulnerable point for me, so... that was my first benefit of it. It was just being encouraged to share it and take a little bit of pride in it and not be so afraid of what people's judgments are going to be.
Sweet. So are you do you have plans for that piece eventually to have it on your blog?
I certainly have my partner's blessing to do that. My blog is in a weird place right now. It's been really hard to write about the relationships I'm in. I struggle a lot with personal privacy.
Yes,
and
I
struggle a lot with worrying about my partner's personal privacy. As much as they volunteer, I still worry about it. And dealing with, you know, this long-term partner that I have that is not long distance, his family has access to all that if they want to poke around and find it, because I'm not writing anonymously. And I don't want to create a bad situation for him or myself inside of his family. And so I've kind of stepped back from it a bit. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And if I finish that piece, I might just have to have you share it or something. I don't know.
I would be happy to post it up on my blog. The reason I asked you is because, you know, everybody listening, if they wanted to read it, it would be cool if I could have a link and have some access to it. So I would be happy to put it up on my blog.
Yeah, but after I work on it a little bit longer, I will definitely let you share it. Because, like I said, my partner is super enthusiastic about me sharing it, which I think maybe is an exhibitionist or something in him. He takes a lot of pride in what I do, and I love that, because I've never had somebody be so accepting of me as I am, like, with no filters.
Sweet.
And so when he does that stuff, I want to be able to do that. It's a personal struggle, and it's a struggle in finding a way to do it with a bit of balance as far as privacy and whatnot. But
That's the thing, you know, when you're kind of a high profile person in the community in terms of just being a sex educator, or that you have a blog or something like that, one of the aspects that people don't realize is a part of it is that, yeah, nobody listening to us or nobody necessarily reading knows, you know, what the deal is, except our inner circles. And our inner circles know that, oh yeah, she was dating that guy during that time, so that's who she's writing about, even though she never mentions his name. And she gives him like a code name. You know, we all know that that's who she was writing about. So there is that part. And so it's a kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, my circle is big. Like, it's not, I've got a couple of friends. I'm in big communities.
Yep.
And anybody in my neck of the woods in those circles knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, precisely. But he doesn't seem to be concerned about it.
He is not concerned about it. And I'm so lucky. I really am. He's the same person that I talked about on the show before. And I re-listened to that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cute because we had only been dating for like a month at the time when that happened. And now it's going on a year. And I remember back then I was like, oh, I hope he sticks around. He's so much fun. He's still so much fun. And he has stuck around. And it's been a really great experience.
And now he's in California and you are still in Michigan.
Yeah. it's working.
Mm-hmm.
We try to go about 6 weeks in between visits, and it's nice because I get to spend a little time with you. If I can figure out ways to maneuver that.
I know, I'm excited for our next visit, and then I'm finally going to get to meet him.
Yes, and I would love if we could co-top him.
Ah, well, we should talk about that after we finish.
Yes,
podcast.
We need to negotiate that.
You're gonna edge me into the whole pegging gangbang. I know you are.
Oh, I didn't even. I wasn't even gonna go there with it, but you know, he would be a yes because anytime I say I have an idea, he just goes yes. As long as I'm okay with it, pretty much he's okay with it.
Okay, so back to the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
The wife was fucking him.
So the wife's fucking him, and he's sucking my cock, and it's hot. And then that portion stops, and we realize if we're going to order pizza, we should probably get the order in. Like, the whole thing is kind of like, oh, we got to get to business here. We need food after this is done, and it's a Saturday night. It's going to be a while before pizza gets delivered. So we took a break, got snacks. Water break, you know, bathrooms, whatever, and somebody called in the order for pizza.
And he's still not restrained at this time. He's up moving.
Oh, no, he's, yeah, we're all just very much in, like, it's just a break. Like,
yep.
We're just checking our phones. You know, everybody's got their business to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was weird. I don't, maybe that happened before the wife started. I don't remember because it seems like it took a while before the pizza showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, eventually got back to business. Before the pizza showed up, we were all kind of sitting around the bed while the last person took their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And we had music playing. And for whatever reason, the song that was on had the sound of knocking doors. And we all, like, jumped up. Like, it was like your mother just walked in the room. And we all, like, jumped up and ran to, like, hide in different nooks and crannies, like, if the door was going to, like, fly open or something. And come to find out, there was nobody at the door. It was just the music. And
terrible.
So we resumed back to business.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody kept their clothes on so that they could get the door.
Good plan.
This time, though, when the pizza guy actually did show up, they didn't stop fucking.
Ooh.
I jumped up and ran. I ran into the little nook by the bathroom because the way the door would have opened, I was afraid. I just didn't want to be, like, standing there like a deer in headlights. And the person that went out and got the pizza, they said that the guy just kind of stood there. I don't know if he thought, like, I just, in my head, I envisioned, like, the beginning of a porn or something with the pizza
right.
guy. Like, is there anything else I can do for you? And she's like, nope, good, have a good night. And I guess there may have been some, like, slapping noises coming from the room with the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it's a fun thought to think about because because they didn't stop for the pizza guy.
Oh, I wrote a, fantasy about exactly that. Yep, the pizza guy. Oh, the pizza guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's either the plumber, it's the pizza guy, it's, you know, we needed some porn music in the background, and I don't know. If he only knew, I think he just wanted to know what was going on in there, I imagine, but.
Looking for a different kind of tip.
Yes. Yeah, I only imagine what stories pizza delivery guys have. It's kind of like UPS drivers. I imagine they all have really crazy stories.
Yeah, I actually did one of those. I mean, it was just more of a brazen sort of half-exposed thing. And I had this lingerie type of thing on that was like my boobs were half hanging out. And and I just answered the door in it, smiled and looked him straight in the eye and said, thank you so much. And he was not looking me straight in the eye.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
And I had that just fucked look, you know, because I had been just fucked. And yeah.
It's fun. I mean, it takes a special mindset at the time for that to happen for me. But obviously that night I was much more concerned about hiding in the bathroom. But
that's okay.
I don't know.
So pizza came. Did the fucking stop?
No, so the fucking didn't stop. We all left for pizza, and they finished up on their own. So we were just hungry.
No, wait, you left for pizza? So you left?
No, I mean, we left to the, it was kind of a suite, so we went into the other room for pizza while they finished up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's very nonchalant, like very, everything was very relaxed, and yeah, I think we were just ready for the next part of the event, which was food.
Nice. And so did that mark the end of it?
Yeah, pretty much. At that point, we slowly started to trickle out for the night. It took a little while. I snuggled for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us cuddled. Well, not all of us, but we all did sit on the bed for a while together. Some of us cuddled. And then people just slowly started to make their way out.
There wasn't any kind of formal sort of, I don't even know what to call it, like a debrief or a formal sort of, wow, this was awesome. Thanks, everybody. And, you know.
No, I mean, the wow, this is awesome kind of happened through the entire event.
That's true.
I mean, he was very, very grateful and not afraid to use his words and to tell everybody how much he appreciated them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, what is the word I'm looking for? I don't even know the word I'm looking for.
Well, casual sounds like what it was.
Casual is a good word for it. Yeah, it just very naturally just broke up. You know?
Yeah, you do these gangbangs every day.
Right? We were joking about it during it. Like, do you know how much this would cost somebody to order up? If this is a service, serious money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as fun. Honestly, you know what's so great about it, I think, is the connections that you have with people.
Of course.
And as much as I didn't really know the people there, we still had this community bond between us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of respect, one of the women is a huge fan of yours, Ruby.
Oh.
And so we had shared a couple conversations about my upcoming trip when I was headed out there to see you in August.
Uh-huh.
And so we had that mutual, you know, connection as far as like interests and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And so doing it with strangers would be probably not my thing.
Yeah.
The minimal connection we had certainly helped to build what was a really great evening.
Well, the intimacy part of it is just really, I don't want to say it's unavoidable, but when you can allow that intimacy and when you can feel it because you do have the connection with the person, it makes it so much richer. Of course, anybody can get pegged and, you know, have a gangbang and that kind of thing. But when...
And I let me say... I think that we can still classify this an intimate occasion, like because we all have that community connection between us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different kind of intimacy. And I guess that's what I've learned over the last couple of years of being divorced is that there's a lot of different kinds of intimacy.
Sure. And I think that even just the pre-negotiations and asking all the questions and making sure everybody was okay and the pronouns and all of those things you mentioned, that creates a certain level of intimacy already because you're taking everyone's needs and preferences into account and you're learning more about each other.
Yeah.
So that you can engineer, you know, just the right type of thing, you know?
Yeah. It's not just a taking situation.
Yeah.
in our discussion yesterday, kind of debriefing about it, he wanted to be that pleaser. You know, he's used to being in the submissive role, and he really wanted to be able to spend more time with the other people,
mm-hmm.
and not just be receiving it all, but to be able to give back to them. And that wasn't the situation that he was in.
Mm.
I did ask him, I stole from you from our last conversation and asked him what one word he would use to sum this up.
Ooh.
Because I remember that being such a powerful thing for me when I said a privilege.
Uh-huh.
And he did something very similar, and his word was honored.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you could do this with a jerk of a guy, and he could be, like, thinking he's king on the mountain, right?
Yeah.
This guy totally took it from a much more gracious place.
So everybody out there listening, if you want to create a fantasy like this and have it like a pegging party or have a pegging gangbang, now you know a little bit more about how to do this. There's actually a guy that I'm going to interview who has pegging parties. I keep talking about interviewing this guy and we haven't connected yet, but he lives in Houston, Texas. And he started off with a pegging munch, which was awesome. And he said it was amazing because in the very beginning, just as many women showed up as men, which really surprised him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the really magical things about having a pegging munch is that everybody who comes knows that we're all interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes away that fear factor of being judged or the taboo or that kind of thing. And that mm-hmm. munch eventually progressed into parties, and he's still having parties, and they're pretty successful.
Well, I'm sure in that situation, if you're building relationships in that subsector of the community,
mm-hmm.
those could be a lot of fun.
Yes.
That's what I guess I want to talk about a little bit, is that these things don't happen because you snap your fingers.
Nope.
These don't happen because you post an ad on FetLife. These things happen because you've created relationships in the community. And that's what I don't think a lot of people understand, is that these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
And they take you showing up to things, putting mm-hmm. your face in the community, not just sitting behind your computer and wondering where's the lineup of women wanting to fuck me. You know, I am at events. Usually I'm at a kink event at least a couple of times a month, maybe three or four times a month. My face is there. And if I want to make something happen, there are people that want to make it happen with me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, I had my partner had a fantasy before he left to move across country. And I didn't know how to make that. I didn't know what that fantasy really meant. He said what it was, and I was like, I don't really know. I don't want to plan a fantasy with the person, because that takes away the surprise of it.
Mm.
And so I took it to a friend of mine who writes erotica from the place of a submissive male. And I said, what does this fantasy look like? I don't really understand it.
Smart.
He helped me plan it, so I had that person to bounce stuff off with. And then I needed a little bit of help with it. And I put out a call to a couple of friends, and I had somebody show up and help me out with it. And I got to leave. I'm sure I blew his fantasy out of the water.
That's so smart, the way you handled that. So smart.
It's so awesome to be able to do that for somebody. And it's not hard to do when you know the people.
Yes, knowing the people.
But if you think you're going to show up and it just happened, it's not going to work that way.
I remember a guy, you know, there's so much discussion in my world all the time about the guys looking for the women. Where the hell are all the women that want to fuck guys up the ass, blah, blah, blah. So I remember this one guy writing in and saying, you know, one way is to show up, like you said, be a part of your community, be a part of what they do and become known there, make friends. And then if you know someone that you would enjoy being pegged by, you know, and you're already friends, that's the whole point. You've showed up, mm-hmm. you've been there, you've gone to the different events and things, and you know each other, to just, you know, kind of drop a little line and say, you know, I'm so glad we're friends. And I just wanted to say, if you ever had any kind of fantasy about fucking me up the ass, just let me know. And I'd be totally awesome, down with that, right? And just
yeah.
leaving it right there and walking away. And he said, it's surprising how many women, you know, that kind of sits with, and they go, you know what? Yeah, I want to try
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to work with every woman.
No.
It would work with me. I've had people approach me before and just be like, hey, like, I'm just curious. Would you ever want to have sex? And I'm like, well, sure, I probably would. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bold way to say it. And would it come off great from just everybody? No.
No.
Like, it really takes, you have to at least have established some kind of relationship with the person first.
Yep,
and then it's like, for me, it's no big deal.
Yeah, and that's never anything that I would respond well to if it was someone I didn't know.
Yeah, no, not at all. And that's a big thing. Like, please don't treat me as a sexual object.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But amongst my acquaintances and friends, like, if we've established some kind of a rapport,
mm-hmm.
Then it's, you know what, as long as I feel like you're okay hearing no, do you know what I mean? Like, as long as it's not a request disguised as a demand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and it's just put out there as an offer, then that's great. But you can feel that in a person on whether that's the case or not. And
absolutely. So,
getting
back to the gangbang.
Yeah.
So what kind of advice would you give first? What kind of advice would you give men who are interested in having this same fantasy realized?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it depends on if you're in a relationship. Getting your partner on board is probably the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get your partner on board, your partner may want to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
And your partner may have a lot easier time gathering up participants. If I think about any fantasies that I've created for other people,
uh-huh.
as the female in the relationship, if I'm trying to bring in other females, I'm going to have a much better time than if a guy is trying to bring in other females.
Well, and I'm imagining as well, I wonder if your center totally cleared all of the participants with his wife. I would assume so.
You know what? They have a really healthy poly relationship.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he needed to. I'm sure they talked about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who the people were that were not included. I can only guess that he probably just didn't know them very well, or maybe even at all.
So for people who are wanting to have this experience themselves, that seems like a really important part is to make sure that your partner's okay with the participants. Because
I would say a really healthy
relationship is rare.
You know, this couple has history in the swing community too.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that sex is a little more relaxed.
I see.
But yes, I think that everybody, comfort level is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that making sure everybody can play nice together, whether that be with your partner or with each other, is huge. If there was going to be somebody at that party that I had issues with, I couldn't have gone.
Yes, yes.
Because there's no way that you can be comfortable in that environment if there's any tension. So,
mm-hmm.
I imagine that he had to have discussed it with her.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who was going to be included. But she did not do the planning. He did all of that. He's the person that posted the ad. He did all the reaching out. So
mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't even know who for sure would be there when I got there. And
wow.
I didn't even know if his wife would be there. So.
But when you just said I didn't know exactly who was going to be there, so you were just hoping it wouldn't be anyone you had an issue with?
No, I mean, I knew who the options were.
Okay.
I had been told at one time who was interested in it.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew basically who was initially on the list.
Who they were choosing from, sure.
Yes, but I did not know who was actually going to show up.
Got it.
We're not, like I said, we're not close, and so I didn't reach out to any of them to say, hey, are you going to this?
Uh-huh.
And honestly, he worried that nobody would show up. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was nervous.
So
and I can understand that. You know,
you had the imposter syndrome thing going on, and he had the,
everybody
oh my God,
did.
What if I threw a party and nobody came?
Yeah. You know, you have your fantasy. People say yes, but it doesn't mean they're going to show up.
This is true. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give to women who are participating in something of this sort?
You know, you're going to have to, if you're like me and you get those last minute, you know, cold feet, you're going to have to rely on your confidence that it'll all be okay. Like, as much as I get scared, generally I just push through fear and then I come out on the other side feeling amazing. So I had the help of my partner giving me a little round of applause from behind, but I think the key is to come in without a lot of expectations.
Mm.
If you're one of those people that can kind of go with the flow, perfect. Stand back, figure out who's going to take charge,
because
there's going to be a leader.
Who took charge?
A previous partner of his.
Uh-huh. Just more dominant personality?
She's the most dominant personality in the room.
Got it.
And she had a lot of history with him, so that helped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, don't think that you have to be in charge. They can't have, you know, five cooks in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. And order the pizza in good time.
Yeah, think about that too, yeah. Yeah, maybe have an assistant. You know, if you can find just somebody who wants to be an assistant, that might be helpful too. You know, we've talked about this before. I love Dan Savage's Savage Love.
Uh-huh.
And I remember listening to an episode once where it was a woman that called in, and she's really into being the center of gangbangs.
Uh-huh.
And she had some horrific experiences with people losing condoms inside of her.
Oof.
And I think of the danger side of this, but his tip was you never have a gangbang without a gangbang manager. And while this wasn't a safety situation, we didn't have to worry about, you know, we're not exchanging fluids. There's, you know, really very limited physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need a manager, but there might have been nice to have somebody that was, you know, ordering the pizza.
Ordering pizza, making sure the music was just right. Handing the lube, handing the towels when you needed them.
Yep, absolutely.
That would be nice. A naked cabana boy is what comes to mind, but, you know.
Yeah, a boy would be, I think another boy to as like a kind of another clothed female, naked male.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be in service.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of maybe a bit of humiliation and look what you can't have. Maybe if you're good enough, one day you'll get to be the center.
Service with no satisfaction, yes.
Yeah, I mean, okay, speaking of satisfaction, so we went into this event knowing that we were not going to allow him to orgasm.
Oh, okay.
Because I did end up asking, so how do you orgasm from pegging? What should I expect? And he said, only with direct stimulation to my penis. And I said, okay. And we had decided that he was not going to be allowed to come that night. So
he got
plenty of pleasure, and I asked him about it afterwards. But he was not allowed to finish.
So he was not allowed to finish, which I find really hot, because I'm getting more and more into the whole orgasm delay, if not denial, and short-term chastity and things. I talked about that in my last couple of podcasts. The chastity thing is really intriguing to me now.
Yeah, chastity is a real big interest of mine, too.
But my question in terms of satisfaction is, so did you just go home and just totally get off like 7 times or something?
I didn't get home till 3 in the morning. There was no getting off to be had.
Okay.
So my situation is a little bit different in that I'm just literally a day away from my partner coming into town. And so I had made kind of a personal plan that I was not, I think I had like masturbated on Thursday, and I decided that I wasn't going to get off again until he got here this Thursday, unless I had a sexual situation with a partner, like a partnered sex situation. Over the weekend, because I thought I had a couple of opportunities that maybe I would get to have sex. And none of those happened. And so I decided I wasn't going to, like, that was going to be my reason to get off. So I came home, I went to bed. The next night, though, I broke my promise to myself. but it was a combination of that was really fun and hot, but I'm also in this anticipation mode for my partner being here. And
sure.
So thinking about that just gets me going. And so, yeah.
So were there any other orgasms to be had during for the other women who were there?
Nope. Nobody got off.
Wow.
I didn't even break out. I mean, I almost broke out my Hitachi just like to show it off to people mm-hmm. that hadn't played with one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it never came out. And I almost thought about teasing him with it, and it just didn't happen.
With
again,
the pure
it's one of those
one,
things
yeah.
you could do round two. You know, the Pure One and the Hitachi together mm-hmm. are magic. So, or I shouldn't call it the Hitachi, the magic wand.
The magic wand, yes.
The magic wand and the pure wand are the good ones. And you put those together.
Wow.
But again, that could be the next time, because I would totally do it again. If this guy wanted to do this for whatever reason, I'd be happy to participate.
So if you engineered one of those yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I may have to do this for my partner.
Yes. How would it be different? Or do you even want to say? Because, I mean, if he listens to this, he'll know.
Oh, he's going to listen to this. And I love the tease that I've already teased him that this may happen for him. He's a really lucky guy.
Okay, well then, we can keep talking about this.
We can keep talking about it.
But I'll just not put it on the recording. I'll just cut it off.
Oh, you can even put on the recording. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it would be a different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that always changes how it naturally plays out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I got you thinking now.
Yeah, I don't know what would be different about it other than I tend to be more sensual. And if I'm leading this event, it's probably going to have a more sensual side to it. And I used to think that group sex or group situations like this couldn't be really intimate.
Hmm.
And I had an amazing three-way one time
mm-hmm.
with a woman that changed my whole perspective on it.
Mm.
And so I know it's just about picking the right energy in people, like mm-hmm. finding those people that you really click with on that level of intimacy and just overall good vibes feeling.
Yes.
That I would like it to be a more intimate situation, a more sensual situation. I also really enjoy the BDSM side of it too. So if it could be both,
mm-hmm.
So I like the teasing side. I like the having him restrained and us just getting to do whatever we want to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can be done with a softer edge.
Hmm.
And that's how I would paint it if I was going to, you know, direct the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of kissing. This didn't have any kissing. I'm big into kissing. I guess I would take it probably to a more sexual side.
Mm-hmm.
There would be more sexual contact.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming and talking with us about this. It's just been such a privilege and a gift.
I appreciate our friendship. I'm glad that we've kind of, since the first time I was on your show and before I was on your show, and we got to know each other, and then I've spent time with you now, and to get to follow up with my little adventures is fun, and I appreciate having somebody to share it with.
I'm sure that all of my listeners really are going to be happy to hear this story. I mean, it just works into the fantasies of so many people out there, and to hear someone who's been through it, who's done it, and it went so well. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. Michelle and I had a great time recording it for you. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blogs, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or pegging101.com, which has strictly informational articles only about pegging and no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast or downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website, both for Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too strange, or too silly. Many listeners will learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.